There's a lot of confusion in the world today, folks. A lot of hate, a lot of evil. We can't let that happen in his house, amen? And I want to read today about Barnabas and about Paul and about Peter and about John, Mark John, and how they did disagree. They did. They disagreed. But they knew who the point was. It was God, amen? And as they disagreed, they did not disagree about God, amen? And then as you read the Bible, read the what?
Bible.
You find that they came back together. And when they came back together, they were stronger, amen? Because it's all about God. We're building a church here. Say that with me. We're building a church according to the Word of God, according to Paul and James and Peter and Jesus. And this church is about Him. It's not about anybody or anything. It's about Him. And the Bible says when we do it that way, He brings people to be fed the Word of God. Amen? That's what we're building here. A church unto the Lord. Psalm number 14. I knew far away, stood in old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross with the tears and breath. My mother and my father and my brothers and my sisters. Because of you, I can heal and because of you, Lord, I can heal this city. But I'm just too tired right now to do it. Or something's against me, keeping me from loving you that way, the way you loved me, dying on that cross. Church, we need to get so spiritual. You want people to come. You want this church to shine. I want it. I want to change everything. I want to change the city, the state. We can do it here, one step at a time. But it starts with us. We have people here today who need a miracle to live. And we're praying for that. They're not complaining. They're not complaining. They're here because they love God. You don't hear them complaining. We have a new friend here today. And I pray that she receives so much love that she looks at my friend and says, I got to come back because I never felt that kind of love before. I haven't been in a church where I felt that kind of love, because that's what the Bible calls us to do. I pray that she receives it and becomes part of our family in a way that she even never thought possible. But it starts with those who are here. Love each other. Love Jesus. If you don't love people, if you're upset, at least love him enough to have a tear in your eye for what he did for us. This is the day he gave you today. He loved you enough to give you this day. Give him your heart. Give him praise, church. Meditate on that.
Thank you, Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Be seated. Hallelujah. Be seated and relax and enjoy. We're going to heal today. How many want to be healed today? How many want to feel a healing? How many really want to know when you leave here that there's something special inside of you? That God has got something for you. Amen? That God has a plan for your life. That God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to heal. Sergio, God bless you. Welcome. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Marilyn. I got to put my glasses on. If you pray to God so much, why do you need glasses? Because this body is not the body I'm going to have later. That's why. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. What does it say? Right here. Miss Marilyn put it in right out of the Bible. You don't have to believe me anymore. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in him.
His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
Hallelujah. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has declared to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nation.
The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness.
Yes, they do. He has sent redemption of his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
Praise the Lord. That's your Father. That's your Father in heaven. Amen. That's your promise. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Not judging, I'm going to share with you what I saw. I saw it the other day, saw it on the way here. There's an absolutely beautiful church that loves God and working towards God. A very successful church that we passed by. I love the church. And I saw the other day that they now have three services in the morning, 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. And I asked my wife, she said, looked at that. And as a pastor, Dominic, it made my heart sad. Because I can't imagine having a service here at 8:30 and telling you at 10 o'clock, get out. All right, nobody talk, go, leave. Because I got more people coming. We're building a church, amen? That's a church. More time spent with God is the blessing of life, amen? When you come to church and get fed the Word of God, it's like you don't want to stop. You want to hear more. You want to feel it. You want to understand more. And my heart is sad because I understand it. Someday when we have 200 people in here on a Sunday, we'll have to figure something else out. We'll put them in the balcony. But I think that that's where everybody, and that's where the people see, and that's where the church light shines the brightest. And when I saw that, it made my heart, Deacon, I'm sorry, it made my my heart sad. I know I'm glad they're successful. I understand that. But to have three instead of two means that people have to leave, Miss Pat. They have to leave. They have, oh, that was great, thank you. And maybe it has to be two pastors to do the sermon, which starts to add, according to the Bible, it starts to add confusion, Jim. You start to get three, and all of a sudden people are going to say, well, I like Pastor A better than Pastor B, so I'm going to go in the morning. And then what does that do? It adds confusion and starts to add division. In a church, that should be one, amen? Unity, one, right down. I have to answer to God, amen? So whatever I tell you, I have to, and so if you get two or three people expressing themselves in a different way, all of a sudden you get division in the church. And this is a family. Look around. Look at the church this morning in the middle of July. 5 years ago, this church was closed in July. And it was no reason. It wasn't like it was a bad reason. It was just what they did. We have people in this church now, really powerful people in this church, doing things for the ministry because their church closed in the summer and we chose not to. So they came to visit us, Jim. And we said, oh, we love you guys. We're great. We love you guys so much. And we're glad you're here. But we don't steal people from God. Amen. God plants us. Oh, yeah. No, we like it here, too. And then they came back again. And then they came back again. And one day they said, we're here to stay. And I give God praise and glory for that. And I thank God for that because they're a blessing to the church. Fred and Nancy, thank you so much. But we would have lost. And I can't help but think, Dave, that three services in one day where you got to rush people out to get other people in, sort of the family sort of gets dispersed. And the compassion and the love and the unity sort of gets dispersed. Amen? And the confusion starts. And I just wanted to share that when Paul built churches, he built a church here, he built a church here, he built a church here. When Barnabas went out, when all the apostles, they built churches and people came together. And I wonder how you could be together when you have three different ones and you might not even know the people that go in the morning. So how does that become a family in Christ? And I'm expressing what I'm feeling. I'm not judging because they're very successful and they're doing God's work. I'm just sharing with you what we're doing here at Second Congregational and the blessing that we have for this church. Can I get an amen? And I promised you healing. I promised you healing today. Right here. You want to pray? There's healing in this word. Right here. There's comfort in this word. There's peace. Right here. Right here. There's guidance. Amen. When you're alone at night and you don't know what to do, you open up the book, God starts to talk to you. Amen. Right here. Amen. Talks to you. When you close the book and you don't open the book for days, who's talking to who? You're talking to yourself. And you don't this, and I don't, and you, all of a sudden it becomes what you, and then you go back here. And then you start getting God's thoughts. And you start receiving God's blessings right here. This is where it's at. All the other stuff is wonderful, great, nice, but right here is the food. This is the steak. This is the prime rib. This is the lobster. Nancy, this is your crab, the Alaskan king crab right here. This food never stops giving. This food right here heals your heart. The word is the way to power. The Bible says, great good success in here. You do things God's way, amen? There's people today who have power beyond their own imagination. People who can heal other people, and they're choosing to be angry. They're choosing to yell and to demand and to claim what's theirs and their vengeance. And I'm telling you that they've missed it. There's nothing in here about vengeance. There's nothing in here about anger. There's in here is peace. In here is love. In here is hope. Amen? You want hope for a better tomorrow? How many want hope for a better tomorrow? Well, you're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from here. How many have had so many troubles, you look at it, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. God said, I got a way. I got a family. I got love to share with you. Some folks can't sleep at night. Amen. They can't sleep at night. Right here. It'll put you to sleep. Amen. And it will because you'll be reading and you'll be feeling this peace. All of a sudden your brain stops and you start thinking about God. And you listen to what he's saying, the love, and you're reading about Paul or Peter, or you go to the Old Testament reading, oh, this is great, and the next thing you know, you woke up and said, how did I fall asleep? Healing. You're not healing. The world, yes, Fred, you're... Amen. His. It belongs to him. I don't want to borrow it, Fred. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to think that I can help him, Dominic. Because the second I think I can help God, boy, am I in a bad place. Amen. God said he will bring your enemies to stand in front of you and watch you eat off the table of blessings. He will. He will bring your enemies to you and in a way that you could never do it, no matter how much you fought the battle. He can bring blessings to you. Nothing you could ever do would bring those kind of blessings. He would open up doors. You think you want this door open and he's got a gate this wide waiting for you to walk through. But it's here. Amen? It's here. It's never here. It's always, Dale, here. That's where you come. I want to feed you so much today. I've got so much, Gary, that I ain't even going to get close to some. But I got a healing message for husbands and for wives. I got a healing message for families and for children. I got a healing message for the world. If they would just listen to one page here. This is why you come to church. This is why you want hope. Amen. I can't do anything for you during the week. God can do something for you all the time. God, if you listen to him and understand what this is all about, that's life-changing, Sergio. Your friends don't understand. God said it's going to happen. They nailed him to a cross. They didn't understand. So God says, Sergio, I got so many people you come to. Just relax. Sometimes you got to relax. Sometimes you got to stop trying. So that you could just flow with God and he'll bring you to people. Amen?
That's right.
Let's pray together. The healing begins in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is true. There's hope. There's peace. There's comfort. It cures depression. It cures anxiety. It gives you hope. Hope is the seed that gets planted. And as that seed starts to grow and that hope, that desire to do more, to be more, to have more, you start to do more. And then you see that you don't have time to be depressed. You don't have time for anxiety. You don't have time for anger because you're doing so much for God. You're doing so much for yourself. God is doing for you. You're becoming that person. Listen to me. You're becoming that person that other people are going to be drawn to, not run away from. We all know we've said and done things in our lives that make people run away from us. Amen? But with God, with this, people are drawn to you. People are drawn to you and want to be near you and want to hear your word because it's always good. It's always uplifting. It's always positive because you have it. You have it, and you want to share it. You want to share the good news, the gospel. Jesus, who? What's his name? Told the apostles to go and spread the good news, spread the gospel. You say, I don't know how to read it. No, you know how to read it. Open it up and start. If it doesn't make sense to you, then go somewhere else. This Bible that we've given, this church, it's such a learning Bible that'll lead you to places and explain things to you. In a way, all you need to do is get out of self and say, Lord, show me. Let me read some. Let me understand. And then the more you understand, the more you need to understand and want to understand. And the more you know God, the more you cannot hold back from telling your friends and your family and lifting them up. Instead of doing all the things that we've done in our lives to cause our children to run away from us, to cause our friends to run away from us, to cause people that we care about to not want to be with us. We've done all that, but we can reverse it. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that's the prayer today. Today starts the healing. You got to do something. God said, I'll do it for you, but you got to do something. You got to take the first step. You got to start a new day. This is a new day. This is a healing day. When you leave here today, I pray there is nothing bothering you anymore. Nothing. Nothing getting in the way of you and God so that you can do more for God. Listen, Paul and Peter had the biggest disagreements. Barnabas and Paul, who were best friends, had contention between them. That's what the Bible said. But they loved each other and they got through it because of God. There's division and then there's obeying God. Amen? Nothing is going to be everything that we want it to be, but everything will be the way God wants it to be if we let it be that way, and that's where the blessings come. I look at this church. I ask you, brothers and sisters, as we pray, to look around right now on this hot July day and see the number of people coming to this church that want to get fed the Word of God, amen, and know that you're on the right step. Know that you are where God called you to be. We have new friends and friends who come once in a while. We want them to be fed. Amen. We have people coming who come all the time. We want them to be fed. Amen. We want everybody to grow as a family. We want more time with God on a Sunday, not less time. We want more time to hear the Word, not less time. We want more time to fellowship. The Bible says to fellowship. People said it was a sin if you didn't go to church on Sunday. God never said that. He said, don't forego fellowship. Not to forego what? So if you come and leave, you've foregone fellowship. You missed the whole thing. The people around you today are the ones that are going to lift you up. There's people here in need. We got new friends in here today, and believe me, they need your love. They don't need your money. They don't need you anything. They need your love. They need to know that they're not alone. They need to know that tomorrow's going to be a great day no matter what comes against them, because now they have hope. There's a new life budding, a new life coming up, and we need to feed that. But those of us that have been here a long time, sometimes you got to go right back to the beginning again and refeed it, but that's okay. Paul said, I don't care how many times I have to repeat myself. If it edifies and lifts up, Paul, who said it? So make sure you know that. He said it. I will say it over and over again for the body of Christ. Amen. For the good and for the glory of the Father in heaven. Let's pray, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to remove whatever it is that keeps us from you. Help us, Lord, to remove whatever it is to keep us from praising you with all our heart. To really praising you. To not look to the left or right, but to stand and praise you. To have tears in our eyes because of what you've done for us and what you're going to do for us. For all the things you've blessed us with that we don't even ask you and thank you for anymore. Help us, Lord. Help us to see. Help us to see you. And the only way for us to see you is to get out of the way. Out of the way. And then the healing will begin. And the fire will start for the Lord. And we will work as a team together through the Word of God to bring people here. Yes, but to heal those that are here now. This church, our families, our children, our friends, our job. People will see you. They'll see. They'll be drawn to you. Good success will follow. Good success, if that's what you're looking for, prosperity. But the love and the joy of the Lord will be able to be seen, and that will change Derby, Connecticut. And that will change Seymour and Oxford or whatever town you're growing in. That will change them, and that will bring people, and that will change the state. And mighty things will be done through God. Through God. That's my prayer today, that you remove anything that's not from God. Try. None of us are perfect. Can I get an amen? None of us. We all fall short. So if we all fall short, then there's one thing that we all need. We all need to be lifted up. All of us. That's the way we'll survive, and that's the way this church will be a church that other people will talk about for generations. Because we looked upon God and Jesus for our help. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray you receive. Bible said that Paul tells us in Galatians that he went face to face with Peter. Imagine that. He went face to face with Peter because he didn't like what Peter was doing. Peter was siding with people and not meeting with the Gentiles. And Paul saw that and he went right to him and said, why are you doing that? We're all of us are accepted in the blood. Amen. All how many? All of us, see? See, some of the Jews were still living in the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, Marty, and they thought that people had to be circumcised and to join the before. And Paul and Peter say, they already preached it. And then Paul saw Peter off with the Jews and not eating with the Gentiles. Said, what are you doing? Are you intimidated? See, because Peter was intimidated. Amen? Did that mean Peter made a mistake? No. Amen? But Peter was intimidated, but Paul wasn't afraid to tell him so. Amen? And just so much in the Bible that you start reading these stories and you realize these people, Paul, Peter, James, all these people, Brenda, they're us. They're just like us. They wore clothes. They went to work. How many know that Paul had a job? He was a tent maker, amen? So you see, he had a job. That's what he did. See, he didn't make enough money going around preaching and making churches and walking everywhere. So he was a tent maker. That's how he made his living. He's just like us. Thank you, Bryce. So all these people in the Bible, Karen, they're not strangers. They're just us a couple thousand years ago. And 500 years from now, they'll be talking about you guys in this church. There's a group of people at Second Congregational in Derby, Connecticut, thought they were crazy. They were nuts. Yeah, they didn't get along all the time, but you know what? They built a church to God. Those people were maniacs. They changed the whole valley. I don't know how it happened, but they started focusing on God. And the next thing you know, the mayor showed up. And the next thing you know, other people showed up. And they couldn't stop coming because what's going on in there? Because the people were on fire for God. Amen? That's what a church is supposed to do. Can you get on fire? Lord, please don't let me get in trouble for this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. How many know that my wife was in Tennessee for a few days? Listen. I said, we left on a Thursday, and Sunday I came to church, and I said, it's been 4 days. I haven't made a mistake since you left. I didn't go down the wrong road. I didn't drive too fast. I didn't do... And everybody laughed, amen? That was pretty funny. But you know, the truth of the matter is, Dominic, she could have said the same thing in Tennessee. I haven't done anything wrong since I left. And you see, that was man before this. Before we knew that there was sin, people did whatever they wanted to. Oh, I can do whatever I want. There's nobody stopping me. And then God showed up and said, time out. I'm going to give you some of these guide rules. Try to hang on to these for a while. And could we do it? No, we couldn't. But when God sent us the Holy Spirit, Joseph, you know what they said in the Bible with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit came inside us because why? Because we believed in Jesus. Amen? We accepted Jesus into our heart. Joni, that's all we did. We didn't do it. We didn't cost us $1,000. We didn't have to go to school for it. We accepted Jesus in our heart. And the Bible says when you do that, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes in. And one of the things it does, Brenda, the Holy Spirit, it convicts us of, guess what? Sin. So that we start knowing that we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing. So, I laughed that I didn't do anything wrong. But you know why? Because that's exactly how man was before God. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read something in Matthew. I had so much, but I want to read this because I think this little paragraph could change your lives today. Forever. For how long? Now, I got to warn you, Jesus said this, and you all think he was really compassionate, and he was, amen? And he was really loving and caring, but he was a tough. When he said something about his father, amen? He didn't sugarcoat it for you to make you feel better. He wanted you to know exactly what he wanted you to know and the way he wanted you to know it. So as we read this, and husbands and wives and fathers and sons, and when you go to work, your boss, and everything, if you listen to what he tells us here, it will change your life, Dominic. I believe the Word of God can. I'm crazy. I'm crazy like that. Matthew 7. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with that measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now, how many have heard that before? You heard that before? That's not what I'm getting. The next part's what I'm talking. Because everybody knows, I'm not supposed to judge. And the next word comes out, but. Well, I don't know. I'm not supposed to judge, but they didn't do it my way. But they should do this. No, you just judged. The second you say judge and but and after, guess what you did? You judged. I'm sorry, it's the truth. But this is the part. Now, I don't hear this preached very often. Maybe God just gave it to me for me. You ever know that, Gary? Sometimes when you're doing a Bible study, he's giving you something for you. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to give all this. And he's saying, yeah, well, you need to talk to me and I need to talk to you, for this is for you. You can share it with other people if you want. Listen to this. You want to change your life with your spouses, with your children? How many times, wives and husbands, when your wife or husband begins to say something, you interrupt them? Anybody? David, keep your hand down. I'm being honest. You're with somebody and you start to say something, they interrupt you. They tell you no. They tell you, amen? And something you disagree with. You're so quick. How many are quick to say what you disagree with somebody? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Who's saying this, by the way? I want it one more time. Who's with me? Jesus. I tell you again, he just says it, okay? Don't I don't want anybody with no guilt, because we're under the blood, amen? We're under that. We're under the covenant of grace. But I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. And if you could just read this and understand this and receive this, I think it'll change everybody. It'll change homes. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Mr. Mako, the things you say before you think, that's what it's talking about. Speaking and saying without thinking. Judging other people. Not you, George. I didn't mean to go that far with you. Judging, speaking before you have a time to listen. Amen? Saying this person is doing this wrong, this person is doing this wrong, this person is this wrong, and turn around and realize all the things you do wrong don't matter, because you're too worried about, Marty, what somebody else did. So I'm worried about that. You start arguing with your husband. Your wife starts arguing with you. Why? Because they don't want to do it this way. But the Bible, it simply says, the things we say before you speak. It said, you think, if you just stop for 1 second, we're going to take the speck out of my eye. Look in the mirror first, Serge, and see the plank. See all the things that you need to do before you can get to my speck. And it's the same with me, amen? I'm only your pastor, you understand? But I got plenty of planks in my eyes too. I admit it, because I'm human. I got blood, I bleed, amen? I'm here in the flesh. But I'm talking to you as well as I'm talking to me. And that's why I said that to you, Deacon. Because I'm talking to me as I'm talking to you, Jim. That I look, and we all do it. It's something I wish my wife did or didn't do. And I know my wife is saying, I wish I did. But I'm saying to you, I got to stop and say, I got to remove the plank from my eye. I got to make sure I got this done before I say, honey, can we do this or that? And if you did that and you did it at work, how many are ever mad at your boss? Amen? Well, maybe you didn't do everything you needed to do. Maybe you could have done more at work. Maybe you could have acted out a little better. Maybe you could have done your job better so that your boss didn't have that plank in his eye. Amen? Maybe you could have done something, hallelujah to Jesus, honoring Jesus with your job and having the boss say, you know, man, I need you around because of all the things you do. Amen? Amen? No, we're so quick to say things. Hallelujah.
Back to the boss part.
I'm sorry?
We're back to the boss part. Yeah.
Yeah, the boss part really hit home, right? I don't know. Barnabas. I was going to tell you, anybody in Barnabas, I want you to read it in the book of Acts. Barnabas was one of the apostles, one of the disciples that went with Paul. He had a nickname. He had a nickname. And if everybody in this church, I'm going to cry. I'm telling you. This is so healing. If everybody in church, Dale, had Barnabas' nickname, oh my God, he was called the son of encouragement. He would go around, George, encouraging people to get into the Word, encouraging people to do more, encouraging people to be better, Elaine, encouraging them. You can do this. You can do this. Now, you shouldn't tell somebody they can do something you know they can't do. No, I mean, just don't do that. But you understand what I'm saying? He was the son of encouragement, Dave. Barnabas, encouraged. Barnabas was the one, he was the apostle, Margie, that went to all the other ones. He took Paul with him. And he said, hey, you got to accept him. And all the other disciples said, we don't want that guy here. He kills us. He hates Christians. And Barnabas said, no, you got to understand. This guy's a good guy. I've seen him. He saw the Lord. I've seen him preach. I hear him teach. Yeah, I know what he did yesterday. Anybody want anybody else to know what you did yesterday? I don't. So Barnabas is saying, hey, what he did yesterday, forget it. You ought to see what he's doing. He's preaching. And you know, the disciples reached out their hand and they accepted this man who just recently were killing Christians. And that was his goal, to kill every Christian he could see. And then Barnabas was the one. He was the son of encouragement. He even had to encourage the disciples, the apostles. Hallelujah. To not speak, the first thing, to take the plank out of your own eye. Here's what it does. It keeps you, who? Humble. George, it keeps you humble. If you just take the plank out of your own eye before you criticize somebody or do something else that's harmful, it keeps you humble. It keeps you in a place like, I better not say anything. I got enough problems. I'm just going to help him. Maybe if I help him, that problem I thought I had will go away. Amen? And I bet you 9 times out of 10 it'll go away. Hallelujah. Just my thing. But when it keeps you humble, it keeps you in a place to receive, a ready to listen, ready to grow, ready to be Christ-like. And after all, who are we? Christians. And what does that mean? To be Christ-like. Nellie, right? If it keeps you humble, then you're in a place where God can use you. When you remove self, listen to me, it opens up God to work through you. To not look at little things, daily upsets, but to look inward to a new life. It changes your focus. Amen. Whose focus? Your focus. It doesn't change God's focus. Amen. It turns you to God's focus. When you start to realize what's important in your life and the things that you do, you make decisions that are so amazing. The other day, we were caught in, anybody caught in that thunderstorm the other day down here in the valley? That amazing. We were here in the valley and we had to go to Bethel to play at 6 o'clock. And my wife got so upset, she started on me about driving too fast, but I might have been. But the roads were flooded and I started getting upset. And I was going to start on her and it started to come out. And then I remembered what I was reading and the plank in my eye. I took the plank out of my eye first and I said to her, we're going to park in a parking lot and we're going to let this storm blow over. And if we don't do the job, oh well. Amen. I removed the plank. I saw, and God showed me. We actually ended up in a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot in a pouring rain. The car rocked, and she had to use the little restroom. It was right there. We had a coffee. We didn't do the job, but you know what? The second I made the decision to take the plank out of my eye, Sergio, an amazing peace fell over both of us. You understand? It affected both of us. In your life, the same thing. You start taking the planks out of your eyes and this amazing peace, I know it will, because it's God talking, amen? You start not seeing self. You start not seeing your problem and all of a sudden, you see God. You got a problem with your boss, like we said, you just take the plank. Maybe you could do something. And if you did something, maybe that would actually fix the problem. Imagine that. Somebody, you're complaining about something, but if you change, all of a sudden, the problem's gone. You say, how did that happen? That's the way God works, amen? That's the why you come to church story. Let me read that again with my wife put the fan on and blew it.
I thank you for that.
It's Matthew 7. Let me just read that again. Read what God is saying. Jesus, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye. I tell you why singing Rugged Cross doesn't bring tears to your eyes. Why aren't you moved to read His Word? Why aren't you moved to have God in your heart in a place that you can't stop talking about Him? Elder Pat can't be the only one. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye. And Jesus puts it there. He said, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It doesn't say not to help your brother. It doesn't say not to talk to your brother. But it says after you do that, you may be able to help your brother. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You got to remove self, because self is the biggest block between you and God. For whatever reason you don't do what the Word says, it's you. You don't praise Him, or you don't talk to God, you don't pray before the meals. Whatever you don't do, it's you, because God is right there. He's right there all the time. He loves you. He's not mad at you. God doesn't get mad at you. He's just saying, you bless, open up blessings. You want to open up blessings. That's what you want to do. That's why you praise Him. And the Bible says, well, yeah, I got to open up blessings. God said He cannot deny Himself. Amen? Jesus said, I cannot deny myself. So when you do anything according to the Word of God, He cannot deny Himself, and He must bless you. Amen. It's not a game. It's God. It's His Word. He said, if you do something according to my Word, I must prove my Word to you, because you've called on me. Hallelujah. It opens up God to work through you, not to look at little things, daily upsets, but to look inward to a new life. It changes the focus to trust God 100%. So before you speak, you must look inward first. I know that there's people here who have lost friends because they spoke too much. I know there's people here who caused that, and they didn't mean to. They didn't mean to, amen? They're beautiful, loving people daily. I know. But they spoke before they thought. And they criticized, or they said something before they thought, maybe I should do something first. But I'm telling you today, what day? Is the day the Lord has made, and this is the day where it all starts over again, Pat. The blessings can start right now, and they will start right now. If you accept this word today, you will not be able to walk through that door leaving as the same person you walked in. If you accept God's word, amen, you cannot look at your wife later or your husband later and start on something before you stop and say, well, there might be something. Maybe if I just cleaned the living room just a little bit, maybe that would work for something else. Amen? You cannot. I'm sorry, Marcia, did I hit another? You cannot leave here today with that in your heart and be the same person that you walked in with. Amen. And that's the healing. That's your healing. Amen. God's not going to take anything away from you. My friend Roger's here today. He's got a beautiful boat. You're going to be on the boat. But coming here today, you're going to receive blessings because you came here today. You sacrificed. You said, I'm going to come to God's house. He sees that. He sees it, Roger. Not me. He sees it. And he says, you know, he really loves me. He really loves being here. I want to show him my love. God is never going to take. He's always going to add. Give him praise, church. Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. How beautiful is that? Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Thank you, Lord. This is where you take your walk with Jesus. This is where you take your walk to the throne room, because each of you hear from God, and He knows you. So as you receive the sacrament today, this is where you and Him are alone together. God bless. Thank you, Lord.